pleasure to be here. Much thanks to Paul for the invitation to come down. It's my second favorite city after Berlin. It's hard to be a dog sometimes in Cork, but one must. A lot of my poems, my mom is from West Cork, would have spent a lot of time in West Cork. A lot of my poems are based around West Cork and times like that. A lot of my poems are about what it is to be Irish and formulating a new language about what it is to be Irish. First poem I'm going to read is Mackerel, West Cork, which would have been based on being a young kid, being out in a small little unrigged boat off Castletown's End with an uncle of mine who was a little bit crazy, like a lot of people's uncles from West Cork. Mackerel, West Cork. Pull them in, me, my brother and uncle, God rest his soul. Pull them in, unhook them, drop them in the bottom of our riddless punt that could be crushed like an egg by a freak wave, he'd say several times. And I'd look to the shore, a half mile away, with rocks like shards of pain and a woolen jumper on. And I'd look at the sea of fear pushing us up and down, frothing a little, while the striped mackerel died humping the belly of the boat. And he'd gun the two-stroke sputtering motor and take us out further beyond words and things we knew. And later that night, in a kitchen full of noise and light, we ate the salt terror of the day with smiles and stories falling from our mouths like we were gutting ourselves. Reading. When you're alone and no one knows, quiet words that are in your head, and you believe that all is lost and no one will ever hold your hand or listen to your voice or kiss your lips or whisper in your ear, and the beach stretches for miles and miles, and the loneliness is an axe in your soul. Come read, come read. I too am there. Feel free now to do whoops and hollers. Don't feel because it's a poetry night you have to hold back. I'd love to hear all the voices from down the back. This is a poem I wrote, Wailing, that when I first posted it online, I had a lot of blokes who said to me, you can't fucking write a poem about whales and women. They'll fucking hate it. But lots of women read it and came back and said, no, we actually kind of liked it. Blokes know nothing about women. Wailing. She is whale white under the moon, shed of clothes and tears and bed sheets. She is wet beneath. Her oils light candles in all of my minds and in all of my eyes as she whispers, yes, yes, come into my waves, yes. As she whispers, come, come, bass drums breathing. She draws me in, her legs as tentacles, wrapping, sealing, sucking, yes, she says, yes. Come, Ahab, come down off your ship. Leave your command, come into the waves, this chaos, this unmanned sea. Yes, she moans, yes, I am coming through the waves, through the froth from the deep, through the frothing white peaks, white whipped up by the wind, I am coming to her, yes. Her mouth, her lips, her tongue, yes. Harpoon, hard, deep, let loose into her belly. Yes, yes, as she drags me under, yes. They were kind of earlier poems I've written. These are now four of my latest poems that I've written, which, as a poet, Nobody knows your earliest or latest poems. Very quiet world, the poetry world. This is a poem, Fireland, that I wrote. My uncle died down in West Cork and came down the day after he had died. And my cousins had gone out to the graveyard and dug his grave and passed around a whiskey bottle that night, as was the custom down in West Cork. And it was something that kind of touched me very deeply. This is kind of a poem, just kind of about it. Fireland. Dark shapened men made of sticky muck dug holes in the soft pine needled earth, all damp and cloying as shadowlands are. Pipe smoking men, car washing men, drinking in the corner of the boozer men, loving their sweating wives men, their shirts all carefully tucked in, their spades slipping violently into the earth, excavating a new space for a familiar face. Below the trees, standing on the path, above the water, where fat mud eating mullet swim oblivious as flies skitter across the surface. A lone beehive hut of stone, half fallen in, survives and stands broken on its own. What did those madmen pray to? The cigarettes are passed around, lit from one to another. Beacons marking these men resting from opening this loved earth once again. It's a poem for Charles Bukowski fans out there, of which I would be one. And this poem says everything about what Charles Bukowski would write about. For Hank. You reading that Bukowski again, she says. Why are you reading about that drinking fool of a man with his whores and lowlifes and brawling talk and gambling bullshit and all his women who screw him no matter what? Why, she screams. Pot of spinach cooks slowly on the gas ring. He keeps me company, I reply, for times just like this. It's a poem, Turnings. Sometimes you sit late at night and you just write something and you don't really know where it comes from or where it's going, but something just arrives on the page. Turnings. Moments rendered endless by memories, deep drawn in same old haunts. Just the sound of that old two-stroke engine sputtering through those same old waves. Beyond the harbour where straw houses vanish upwards into the familiar tornado, rendering the canvas blank once more, as if whiteness was a disease I am a carrier of, while the sky breaks with hungry clouds, and soon the white will run with rain again. Some catches are hauled by ratcheting thoughts, clicking, clicking again and again. Dark-eyed gulls add the chorus line, hacking noises into the ocean. Some horizon remains always. Time to turn once more into the blank. The staring, eviscerating eye of the storm comes calling once more, darkenings. Against the white, some shapes knife-like, cutting from within while I wait on deck with the fillet blade for the catch to come. No songs, no paintings, no music out here. Just the noise of the universe spiraling again into the hole within. Some blood will fall or spill, some entrails will soil. This rough wooden deck, some feet will slip. Time to turn the wheel and reintroduce the world once more to this grieving ship. Turn, turn again through stone circles, lost caves, empty bogs, hidden graves. Turn, turn again across the island, her emptiness my hunger still. Turn like the birds, wind-borne and soulful, who throws this world into this wind. Turn, turn again, turn motor off, hoist sails, this wind blows me still to harbour a grave or each the other. I sail against my cries, my lost years, my harbour noise. I sail further out into this dark ocean, the canvas lost, the painter without oils. I sail out beyond horizons where signs were bought. Soul tethered all for naught, sail on and turn again into the darkness, for there flock the shoals of ghost fish swimming, long before I opened eyes, long before I knew the thumping beat of heart and mind. Turn, turn again, heaven knows you sail, without bearings to that unknowable home, some mother's son, some lost creature, awaiting again some lost return. My father passed away last September, and I had a time, as a lot of people at my age come to, where your parents pass on and you go through the process of seeing them pass on. We spent many a long night in a nursing home watching the slow kind of unfolding process of death. This was the last room my father breathed in. Last glance, one other thing left behind. Fingers crossed under head of closed eyes. Sunk cheeks, not sucked in. No lung recycles air, some vacuum is now there. Empty chairs, a street lit night outside, and closed curtained houses void of light. Dim lamp just carries the scene from last bed to my eyes. I stand and wait for one more word to be said, but no. This man is now dead, who lived so much life before my own breath. It is a quiet room, even I am hushed, not wishing in some way to wake the dead. It is quiet as I am too. No more the dying breath, fast and then slow, and then a pause, into which we lean to know if that had been the end of him. But no. He waited until all had left, and then moments later, so had he. The last breath ended. Last words whispered, do not fear. Now gone, gone from ever from here. Last room, my father now disappeared. On a different note, in Dunleary, we once had the pleasure of the US aircraft carrier JFK come into our little harbour. I used to stand looking out to sea and watching this huge, big behemoth of a fucking ship and think, these fuckers were attacking us. This would be bad shit. I ran a little chipper at the time. The huge motherfucking USS JFK came. We made chips all night while the hookers and local ladies, ignoring local fuckers, lay down for the brave men of the JFK, moored off Dunleary, and the local boys wanked alone in empty rooms like forgotten heirlooms. Women swooned and told husbands to fuck off as they charged after the white-suited sailor men. And at 5 a.m., stinking of fish and burnt oil, I turned and said, we've no more fucking chips, you imperial bastards. Go home. And so another year went, carried away by an aircraft carrier that had loomed like death out there in our little bay. And perhaps some war had been delayed and some violence disturbed by our brave, wet, and willing local birds. Though I don't look it, my father's grandfather passed away in 1975, and this would have been one of my earliest memories, though I was minus 10 at that age.
Yeah, right.
Fuck off. Patrick Brown, number one, 1975. I named it number one because of the fondness for Jackson Pollock, and I thought I'd do a series of these, like big fucking splatters on a wall. My grandfather was the first dead man I ever saw, laid out in a suit, smaller, vacuumed from within, cheeks sunk, eyes closed, and his hands so still. My mother said she heard horses on the road when he died in the early hours of an August night. My grandfather lay dead, and his eyes were closed, surrounded by daughters in prayerful repose, and he was not in that room the day he was laid out. It rained hard. His house smelt of damp heat, the odour of the toilet pipes clogging up, tobacco, the ripe fruits and women and their smell and the rose waters and other glass bottled reliefs. The men all sweat and smoke and ash, chins and cheeks red with razor slash, each wall adorned with haunted suffering Jesus crowned with thorns or fixed and riding on the cross. I used to walk with him, my grandfather, unwrapping a fox's glacier mint, passing through the yard stained with the shit from the milking parlour, behind which the ruins of Volkswagens and Fords sheltered fat red hens, and their warm shit-flecked eggs, the ruin of his older house over at the slurry pit, windows broken and empty above the acid reek of shite and piss, the barn stacked high with yellow bales, colours, smells. I was five. I smell it all now, see it still. He'd take me out to the brow of the hill. We'd stand watch over the land, his land. The cows below near the wood, their smell lingering in the air. Coastal airs drifting in from the Atlantic over slow-bellied hills, some night coming. Home lights shone in the dim hazes. Strange shapes of night grew amongst the trees. Animals darkly shaping other dreams and nightmares. He'd turn and smile, say nothing. Rub the hair on their head with hands he had drowned kittens with, smacked cows with, beat the dogs with, milked this rocky green with. We'd go back slowly to the house where the lights now glowed in the stealthy gloom, moths flirting with the murmuring bulbs, the dogs tied up, vicious, fearsome creatures incarcerated again for the night, Dad's car on the road parked and jaded. For moments, I was real, and eating the world with my eyes and ears, sucking a mint next to death. And then he was gone, winked out in the night like a last light. I have two little girls, twin little girls, that I take much pleasure in. And while my father was dying, I had many times of having great times with my girls while going up to watch my dad. And this is kind of a poem that kind of catches the going of life and the coming of life. Swinging back, swinging forward. The sun catches and sparks the bright clothes of Eva's, James, Callum's and Cheeky Van's. All noisy running and swinging and climbing as I push my girls higher, left hand, now right hand. Daddy higher, higher, no, not that high. Peals of screams and laugh-edged screeching, ringing from the blonde and sister brunette, both swinging with feet pointing and hair flying. Sunlight galloping through the still wet grasses, dazzling and flashing like before dawn dreams. Higher, Daddy, higher, no, not that high. Away they fly, then back to me. Around the playground, dads with cameras, point long zooming lenses and click, just as the little prince or princess turns to see the source of more oohs and ahs. Mothers with folded arms, sentries on watch, turn to each other with nods and smiles. Yes, she's mine, and him too. Then hurry away quickly, some trip knee to catch. All swing in the middle of this treasure island day. The sun not a stranger, no rains, no grey. Pushing off with left hand and then the right. Daddy, higher, higher, we want to fly away. My soul like mercury expanding into the air. I only wish to catch this moment in the whorls of my fingerprints so all I touch is printed with these days. These memories, where will they be? One brunette, one blonde swinging away from me. Higher, higher, oh daddy, please. And then they're gone, off the slide and sandpit where water flows, and climbing frame, then climbing wall, leaving behind, squinting in the sun. I stand there with pink and green cardigans, bottles of water, quarter wedged in my pockets, a lick of sweat salty on my upper lip, content to be nothing but the coat man. Later I'll go and visit my own dying father. I'll rub these printed hands across his parched hair and softly across his shrunken crown. I'll rub his neck and back and withered hands. I won't know if he knows or can feel what it is my hands have seen. I'll rub them across his shrinking crown and wish for his mind to see these swinging places I have just seen. And I'll trust our blood rises like common mercury. And he swings away and beyond all we see. This is a poem about, and you really wouldn't know it unless you knew me, you know, it's a very quiet, non-making kind of person, but back in the 90s I might have visited the odd AA meeting just out of curiosity. The young people's AA meeting. Sundays in Monkstown, the young people would come together and share stories of getting fucked and the humiliations that always followed them. And we'd laugh like soldiers on the front line the night before the whistle would blow, and blow it did. Most of them are dead now. When the whistle started up, most of them died in no man's land. Hung from trees, overdoses, choked on vomit, car crashes. Some just walked into the tide. But they all left something in those meetings. And some of us still carry whatever it was. And it keeps us, even while the whistles still blow. Young guys and young girls lost to invisible wars no one ever wanted to write about. Not even me, until now. This is for them, for listening to me. This is a title poem of this book, Fuckle. I have no fucking idea what it's about, so just bear with me. Fuckle. Gnashers grinding in the headlights. My eyes are the size of saucers, staring out to see the swinging moo cow cars humming homewards on the other side of the M50, circling Dublin like the paw of a young lad wandering the crest of the breast he wishes to test. Hold tight to the wheel, no distractions yet. This car is my anchor as I traverse the Mundo Fictional, hovering in the speed limit set at birth, 0 to maybe 80, smoking maybe 70, fucking a lot, maybe 90. Come drive for a while and see our smutty dark winter nights, full of filthy coal fires and the humming of ejaculating engines, fucking the world while I drive surrounded by airbags again. Jesus, mom, I miss the old womb with no view. Where did the Jesus did you pop me out? Oh, brass, Sarah, your VR, I spoke this language in school. It is a nice summer's day, a day fine summer is here now. We learned Irish that was translated to English, even though our English had already been translated to Irish. My language is sandwiched under shaky spears thrown over the Irish Sea by the mill jack with their topper hats and empty drab churches, and work, 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 you Irish folks, are to be no heaven for ye. How we glowed next to them with our souls burning holes and their ethnic cleansing heads. Soul out there in the field, down there on the strand. That's what you get for living on the edge of the known world. This here me own book of smells. Slán lat, ganairí an bóthar lat, it is the moo cow I hear coming up the road. Moo, moo, swinging her udders. The cow turns its black shining silken neck and udders me with her slow eyes. You, she says, will fuck this country up. You, she says, with your future, when all you need is dripping into the churn. My mind is dazed. I'm off to see the here comes everyone. The there goes the history nightmare in her hooves up my throat and clacking along the deserted roads. Within the fire speaking songs of my mind, I am delicate like milk splashes, liable to turn sour. I leave the roads and boreens and motorways and cycling lanes. Some hole in the ground awaits these words. There's nothing for me in rhymes and sonnets and violin-shaped turds. It's the spade I need to shape holes in this universe of fictional bits, half-told truths, mainly lies. I'm off my fucking head at last. This island will sing again soon. I'm a stuttering fool, hacking chunks out of me flesh, looking for the light that hides inside the tunes that vibrate since the nothing gave way to the all. I used to stare in the darkness at the ship splashed road after the milking was done, and wonder at the noises making their way out of me again of this mine own abandoned pile. I used to drive from Dublin down to West Cork as kids back in the 70s, which would be about a 6.5-7 hour drive. My great delight was that my mom was a devout Catholic to do the fucking rosary the whole way there. She was one of those. Grace. My mother made us say the rosary every time we drove to Cork from Dublin for 6 hours, in mind-numbing terror as my pipe-smoking father, with thick glasses weaved in and out of traffic, I could see clearly coming and growing and horning, until we slid back in behind whatever slow-moving annoyance my father had found himself hindered by. And did I mention the half-mumbling sons and daughters in the back of the pale blue Ford Cortina that was roughly dented in places where he had hit things unseen? From Dean's Grange in Dublin to Renin in West Cork, stopping by way of salted chicken sandwiches and white bread in the forest of Darrow in Tipperary, washed down with lukewarm sugared tea at a flask that somehow failed to ever retain warmth, the journey took somewhat longer than 6 hours, but less than 7. Hail Mary, full of grace, are we there yet? Shut up, are we there yet? Shut up. That was my rosary, repeated each time one of my brothers would melt the air with the internal combustions of his own hastily eaten breakfast, or one of those chicken sandwiches, while my sister imagined a world of girls and princesses, away from the mother ship of Opus Dei and father ship of ever-decreasing vision and sight and his snarled curses, thrashing around small cabin like hornets, seeking out their prey. We sat innocently in the back of his car, adding to his load, as he barreled forwards into the future, and I thought of the cigarettes I was going to smoke, beer I was going to drink, girls I was going to kiss, all the lies I was going to tell these co-pilots of tragedy for all the years they asked the wrong questions, as if I was somebody else imagined by their good selves up in that cockpit of rosaries and rage. That road bends and winds and turns as it is gone. Now Dad sits and stares as he freezes bit by bit, hair wispy upon a shrinking pate, mouth collapsing under word weight, eyes slowly diminishing to the event I wait guiltily for, my mother's faith almost all spent at each horror she endured. Oh, I hear the asylum years. Years, years, the white lines and roads as you speed. Years, years, I sit not being me in the back of my dad's Cortina, speeding along with my brothers and sister and rosary-speaking mum. And now these words erupting in some kind of love that years later says now amen, some kind of love for all of us, all of you, hurtling down this road of suffering women, suffering men. It's a poem to my favourite Irish saint, Saint Bridget. Comes to me the night with her mud-stained ankles, her unthinned bush, a smell of earth and waters wild. She whispers to have found Jesus as she pulls my root out from under the sloping belly of mine. Her hands stroke until the good news issues again. She comes and then goes back into the fields where the honeysuckle grows, her arse bobbing in the grass, wind untangling her hair, her lips red and fat with the juice that goes in there. St. Bridget, St. Bridget, she walks over there and here, around me where the there is here, she whispers she is the light within which all oils will burn. I call for her in my bed to see her dirty ankles and streaky ties clasped about my ears, seeking the holiest dirty hides. She is my queen and goddess, and we will make love until eternity hiccups and is gone as strangely as it once began. It's a poem about, again, my daughters, who, when they were born, my good girl here, Sherna, almost lost her life giving birth to them. And there was a time when I was in St. James's Hospital, and her father, who had passed away about a year, year and a half before that, and I was praying to everybody for something to come and change the shit that could have happened. Daughters. I have two daughters, born one after the other, cesarean, lifted through the flap of skin, one dark-eyed and screaming, the other closed-eyed and silent. Bob Dylan played in the theatre that Sunday morning. My woman almost died once, then twice. I used to drive to hospital one to feed my unnamed girls and drive to hospital two to watch my love almost die. Carrying films of unnamed one and two to named love who saved my life, stuck with tubes and monitors beep-beeping while a doctor talked of final procedures. Lost in a corridor late at night, fluorescents beaming their cruel light, waiting, praying, asking her dead father to come and give her time and feeling in the long deserted walk. Another man beside me whispering in no known words, not like these, mine always a bit disturbed. We went home a few days later, my woman, my two girls, and still I am asked what you want a son. Sometimes you lose faith in the world and its casual dismissal of the wonders of women. Me, a jackal, hairs on end in the bright moonlight, howling and snarling, giving gifts I'll never comprehend. I write this at night while the goddesses of all my life all sleep. Me, a man alone, some tears sliding down my cheek. It's a poem, hundreds and thousands, just that shitty little sprinkling stuff that the girls get to put in their fairy cakes and stuff like that. And I was in a car one night going from Killiney down into Dunleary that Jean was one of my fellow passengers. As we hit a wall and tumbled over and over and over, and I was thinking in the back of the car as we tumbled in slow motion, is this it? Is this my time? Hundreds and thousands. It's also about a bit of love. You walked around with me while I taught of words for love, words of love taught of me as you walked around, yes me. I passed the cinema house at speed, accelerating past Star Wars, Jaws and Mary Poppins towards Glasfield and Dunleary. We walked around Venetian alleys while I taught of words for love. You walked around with me, it was not me that found this key. Crushed coke cans in the gutter, some are belching, some are drinking, while smoking major cigarettes, some are burning, some are winking. You held these hands as I was falling, falling. An older boy quenching the candles, smoke in my nose, the church emptying, old women littering the pews, the priest leaving in his Jesus sandals. You're here in the dark, softly moaning, softly purring. Morning dreams chugging like steam boats, cloudy as impressionistic paint dreams, misting in my lost places now found. I whisper words to you that are the sounds I make now that I have been found. Pulling on my first pair of Levi's, a butterfly emerging. What is this life passing by, pulling me on like a pair of Levi's with buttonflies? I'll climb all over you and into you, you're what I wear when I'm in love. What is this mystery you carry me to? Where are those places I never knew you? Your fingers running across my keys, I'm singing when you're here, even when I'm quiet and elsewhere. I pass the cinema house at speed, accelerating past Star Wars, Jaws and Mary P. towards Glasthoole and Dunleary, in an upside-down tumbling car, asking in frozen time, is this it? And that withdrew, not knowing when I met you, this was it. Woo-hoo! Last poem I'm going to read tonight is Leopold Bloom again, Single Play. I'm very much a fan of Joyce and Beckett and all that shit, and it kind of fucking annoys me that no Irish writers take up this fucking culture. So if you're a writer, go out there and fucking read Beckett, read Joyce, and not all the other shitheads like Sheep Heaney and people like that. Read the real shit. That's my personal fucking opinion. Irish literature has just got to be too fucking nice and quiet. Would it be the thick flanks of your Martello walls, our wasted wanderings on Sandy Mount Strand, wanking to the crippled glory of her in the sands? Is it our God who club-footed brazenly reveals us? Is it the words hollowed out and delivered in tongues as the old, old scriptures foretold? Is it you, the Jew wandering amongst the crucified, blue-eyed Messiah? Is it you, the Jew, with your dark-oaked eyes? Round about the Torah, Bora, Mora, lower your drawers, wish a while across the sugared loaf of her spread-open ties. Is it her, is it towers, is it dark town, and bright-eyed phantasmagorical whores? Sometimes it is all too much. Sometimes the snow falls in general upon our heads, coating us like fairy cakes, with open gobs stuttering, what is God? What is God? What is gee-eyed infinity staring at us for? Insulating us inside the donkey hee-haw of our ignorantualities. Before born babe bliss had within womb one he worship, I quoted from the bucket of Dublin, I am eating nails off the cross. Excuse my speech-o. A fuck it, eff it, fook it all, and cows and sheep and the big-breasted mothers we all seek. Mother of the juices and the ships we sail, cutting prow opens futures of unending prime-numbered dates I cannot calculate. Where is Dad gone? Where is Dad gone? He's dead. Your dad is dead. Mine too. Please, let's stop this spinning top. Shudder to a halt inside of each other. Each unpeeling reveals more juice or revels in same James. Come talk to us. We've been deaf long enough. Come. Ireland's washing up inside herself, like a river ending at its source. She'll wash herself away unless we have magic words. This could be heard. Yes, yes, fuck you, yes, yes. In the streets, God is breaking, and somewhere despite the dead, I hear of an inheritance and a future of yeses ahead.